Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is a blessed privilege to be with you on this way of communicating the radio. I delight in doing this. There is just a microphone before me and a Bible and the recording equipment. And, of course, the Lord whom we cannot see, and we pray to Him, though we do not hear Him. We believe this book is His book, and we did not see Him write it. And we have by faith accepted all of the promises. And there is a struggle that comes about many times that we will have to deal with that do come. But faith is seeing what God has said in His Word, and by His grace, we act in accordance with what He has said. Oh, indeed, you can have this assurance even though you do not see the Lord, and He will give you that peace of heart and mind. There are a couple of things that I want to mention today on the program. In one of them, the Lord tells Moses, don't touch this mountain. That's in the book of Exodus chapter 19. There is a concern that the people have been brought to this place where this mountain is going to, is now today, is a place where the Lord spoke to his servants. And when the Lord spoke, He tells them, don't touch this mountain. If any wild beast shall touch it, even if a wild beast shall touch it, he shall be thrust through. And the way that it is given, verse 13, there shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So if there's a wild animal that they see in their presence, they were not to touch it, or they were not to allow it to live. And then in verse 18 of this passage, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly, and the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. And here is something that is happening, and the people cannot control. They cannot stop it. They're in the very presence of the Lord, and it's very dark. And there is a smoke that is ascending as the fire of a furnace. So around them is dark, and the mountain was set on fire. And the Lord speaks to Moses. And the people are down at the base of the mount. Moses is up in the top, and he is receiving the word. And the Lord says to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Now, the Lord knew what men would do, what they could do, and how they would respond. And He tells them they're not to touch this mountain. Now, Joshua, on the other hand, is a man who asks for a mountain. He says unto Joshua, Caleb, rather, is the one who says unto Joshua, give me this mountain. He did not want, the Lord did not want the children of Israel to touch the mountain, but the man Caleb says, give me this mountain. He was quite along in years, and he asked the Lord, asked Joshua to give them the mountain that was promised. So one claims, and that's another study. I'll not get a chance to finish this on Caleb's part, and to make the contrast, but I pray that you will think of the fact that the Lord is able to give, the Lord is able to set boundaries, and we must do the things the way He says they are to be done. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask for the power of God today to preach the word, to minister the word, and may Thy word find lodging in hearts and lives changed, for Jesus' sake, amen. Well, let's continue in the book of Genesis now. when we have looked at how that Jacob is in Bethel and how that he is en route away from his father and away from his brother, fleeing to a place of safety. He is leaving his mother behind. He is going to start a new life. He is going to find a wife. And her hopes is that her son Esau is going to become quite cordial again toward his brother Jacob, and they can just live happily again as one happy family. Now remember, the man Isaac died at the age of 180. And you remember also that he was quite along in years when his sons were born. He was, 60 years of age. He was married when he was 40. So he is 60. He was 60 when his sons were born. So 60 from 180 gives us 120. So these boys were quite along in years. These men, rather, are quite along in years when these things are happening. And it's not like little teenagers, not like twin teens, but these are grown men when this is happening. I don't know, I don't believe that Isaac was 180 at this time, but his sight had failed him, and his judgment was a bit skewed. He was not able to see clearly, and his wife was using this to her benefit, to her advantage, to work this program, this plan, to her cause, to see to it that Jacob received the blessing. And Jacob is now on the run. And in verse 10, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had. He takes wives from Ishmael's family. But Jacob goes out from Beersheba and goes toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Man having pillows made of rock. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, there are a lot of people who will put a lot of stock in dreams today because of the number of dreams in the scriptures. Now, at the time that these portions of scripture were being recorded, or these events of scripture were being recorded, there was no written revelation like we have it today in the Bible. And there are many who are willing to put their dreams above the scriptures, and they will come up and tell you what they dream. They will tell you what's supposed to happen because they dreamed it. They dreamed it, not just anybody. They dreamed it. It wasn't a neighbor. It wasn't their pastor. It wasn't another godly son, but they dreamed it, and they want you to know about it. They want you to take heed to it. Well, we put no stock in dreams. We have the scriptures that the Lord would give to us, and we place the scriptures above everything, above feelings, above anything. We go to what God has said. He has exalted his word above all his names. Verse 12, and Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God, notice, the angels of God ascending and descending. Now, you would think that the angels of God were coming down and going up. And, of course, they did have to come from God first. But the Lord records these angels as going up from the man of God up to heaven. Now, what does an angel look like? How did Jacob know it was an angel? You know, there are people who will say, I saw an angel. Well, how do you know it was an angel? How do you know what an angel looked like? You don't know, and so you describe something. We wouldn't know what the Lord Jesus looked like, and I see people saying this all the time. I saw the face of Jesus. How do you know what his face looks like? In the scriptures, we have the account of Isaiah seeing seraphim and cherubim, and Ezekiel seeing seraphim, and John seeing these holy creatures. He saw these things, and he wrote down about them. We saw also how that Daniel saw the prince of Persia, demon spirits and things that happened. He saw also the Lord, and he knew it was the Lord. How do you know that it's the Lord that you would say that you've seen? Well, we have the Word of God, and you are placing yourself in a place to where you figured out what the Lord looks like. And a man told me one time, he says, you know, I smell the Lord in this place. And he went on to try to describe what he had said. Listen, friends, you will be dragged off on some kind of tangent, dragged off into some kind of deception if you start going around trying to use your natural senses to understand the Lord. We know of God through a special revelation by God or from God unto us. We know of this salvation, this personal salvation, through faith in Christ. But Jacob sees angels ascending and descending. They're going up with a report. They're coming back down to help. I don't know what they were going up to do. I'm saying that they were ascending, as the scriptures say. They were going up and then they were coming down. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Now remember, Abraham had lived, had fathered two sons, had fathered one seed of promise. Isaac had lived. He was still in the land when he lay down as he was running from his brother. The Lord visits him and tells him, Isaac, this is the land I promised to Abraham. I promised this to your father Isaac. Now I'm going to give it unto you. Now, did Abraham say, I'm about to die now. God promised me something and he failed. And Isaac says, I'm getting old now. And the Lord promised me and he didn't. No, these were men of faith. They pleased God because they laid hold to what God had said. And that's what pleases the Lord. If you and I will lay hold to what God has said, we will please the Lord. If we run ahead of the Lord and look for our own answer, and we come up with some other kind of prescription as to how things are going, we are not pleasing the Lord. He says, I will give it to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, the Apostle Paul will pick up on this verse. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He does not speak of seeds as of many, but of thy seed as of one. There is one who would come, and that is Christ. And in Christ is all of the world. There is the ability, the possibility of all the world to be blessed. And yes, the world is blessed. All of the world is blessed because Christ has come. What do I mean by that? Well, the Lord Jesus brought peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's held the world together. There has been much blood shed in the name of religion. But I'm talking about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those who know him, who live for him, who live to please him because he has spoken and they want to serve him. These are the peacemakers. Blessed are such. And the world is blessed because of the presence of Christ. Dear Lord, we ask thee to bless thy servants today. Bless this thy word again to our hearts. Help us to be bold, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina.